Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Monday, December 28th. By now, you've heard that President Trump signed the coronavirus relief bill last night, allowing unemployment checks to resume, the Save Our Stages program to start sending help to unemployed workers in the devastated performing arts, and more. What you may not have heard is that shortly after he announced the signing, he also announced a plan for an in-person Election Eve rally in Georgia next Monday, a week from today, for the two Republicans in the Senate runoff elections that will decide which party controls the U.S. Senate. The election there is the following day, next Tuesday. If you've seen the front page of the New York Post today, owned by Rupert Murdoch, who also owns Fox News, it's an editorial urging the president to focus on the Georgia election instead of the one he lost. It says, quote, "End this dark charade cheering for an undemocratic coup," unquote. So yes, even the New York Post is ending the Trump presidency, accusing him of wanting to overthrow our democracy. But did the Georgia Republicans even want Trump there after his flailing on the coronavirus bill put them in an awkward position these last few days? Remember, it's Trump and the Democrats who want to increase the stimulus checks from $600 to $2,000. Senate Republicans, including the two defending their Georgia seats, have been for the smaller amount. While the president was out trashing the bill that Congress passed, Senator David Perdue was running a campaign commercial that celebrated it.
Perdue again delivered real, meaningful help for Georgians. $900 billion in new COVID relief. Direct checks to Georgians.
That from a David Perdue campaign ad, putting him on the wrong side of the stimulus check issue as defined by Trump. So the president is campaigning for the Republicans, but his relentless focus on making himself look like a hero may be helping the Democrats. With me now is Gabe DeBenedetti, New York Magazine national correspondent. His article on this is called "The Devils Went Down to Georgia." He's also working on a book now about the complicated relationship between Joe Biden and Barack Obama. Hi, Gabe. Hope you had a Merry Christmas and a happy Boxing Day, and welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Is the president's fight for a $2,000 stimulus check for most Americans rather than $600 over now that he signed the relief bill, or does it now go to Congress as a separate measure?
Well, it appears that the measure that the president signed is now going to be signed into law, and that there might be more conversation now about future stimulus measures, future relief measures. But it looks like this part of the debate is over for now, and it appears that the president seems to be fairly happy to let that conversation be over. Say, I fought for more. Time to vote for David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. He, of course, is also trying to put focus on the thing that he's been complaining about, talking about for a while now, which is the results of the presidential election. And I suspect that that's going to be front and center when he takes the stage in Georgia next week. And that's also part of what the New York Post has been trying to get him to move on from as well.
But the last I saw, Nancy Pelosi was going to convene a House vote today to vote for the $2,000 stimulus that the president wants and make the Republican Senate, including Perdue and Loeffler, vote against it. Is that canceled now that the president signed the bill?
I think, I actually don't know the latest on whether that's canceled. I believe that now that the president has signed the bill, you know, what the president signed is what is going to actually happen. I wouldn't be surprised if the Democrats in Congress continue to try and push forth, saying, listen, we've been fighting for more. We've been fighting for this 2000. It's not our fault, say the Democrats, that this didn't happen.
So if they do that, if Pelosi's House does that, will the Georgia Republican senators, Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue, now have to come out even more explicitly against the president's call for $2,000 checks to their constituents while the Democratic opponents are for them?
Well, listen, what the Republicans in Georgia have been trying to do is they don't like to talk too many of the specifics here because the specifics are obviously very complicated for them because they keep having to run up against the president, not just on this, but also on the legitimacy of the November election to begin with. And you know, whether one should trust the democratic process here. David Perdue was one of the people trying to get the president to actually sign this latest version of the package because he and Loeffler want to be able to measure to message saying effectively, listen, Georgia, we got relief passed for you one way or the other, for the Democrats to be able to go out and say then, you know, well, yeah, but we wanted it to be a lot more. It's just another complication.
By the way, just as an aside, since the issue is apparently moot now, but to be fair to the smaller check side, a lot of fiscal experts say bigger stimulus checks are not actually the best way to help people suffering economic pain from COVID. The $1,200 checks that went out to people earlier this year, they say largely got put in the bank because they, you know, most Americans still had their jobs. When what's really helpful is more generous benefits for those who aren't employed. But are those voices kind of drowned out in this debate?
Well, it's interesting because the short answer is, politically speaking, yes. I mean, on the ground in Georgia, you don't really hear a conversation about the broader implications of these kinds of relief packages. What you hear from all four candidates on both sides is essentially broad strokes conversation about, relief, capital R relief, coming to Georgians. And the easiest way for them to message on that is to talk about the top line number involved in these checks. It's a little bit harder to message saying, and also other kinds of relief is coming in unemployment benefits and then this and that. The reality is that it's a pretty flat conversation, and it's basically these people are standing in the way of relief. No, these people are standing in the way of relief, and it's been this same back and forth really since these runoffs began in November.
Yeah, and the Republicans don't want better unemployment checks either. Anyway, they just want less government spending. That's why McConnell and his crew oppose the $2,000. So my next question is, is there any indication the stimulus check triangulation is moving the needle in the race? As of a few days ago, the website 538, which follows polling, said both races are basically tied with about a half-point margin separating the candidates in each race. Those would be statistical dead heats, very much in both cases, both a half a point. But
right.
Those polls would have been taken just before the president started his rallying cry for $2,000 checks. Is there any way to tell yet if it has mattered politically?
It's really hard to tell for a few different reasons, one of which is that no one really knows how much they can trust the polling in Georgia right now. You know, the general election polling in Georgia was actually pretty good, all things considered. But obviously, given the many questions that now exist about the polling industry, people are pretty hesitant to make any broad conclusions from the polling movement in these races. That said, everyone kind of agrees that they're more or less toss-ups. The other complicating matter here is that this is happening over the holiday break when a lot of people are tuned out from politics. You know, these races are totally inescapable for people in Georgia. It's all over the airwaves. It's sort of the only thing happening politically speaking and increasingly culturally speaking. But for a lot of people who just aren't consuming media right now, this isn't what they're learning about. And the other final piece of this is often when people's sentiment changes because of a program like this, it's when they see the benefits of it, not simply the fact that it happened. So the fact that the Republicans can say, well, we passed this, President Trump signed this law, you know, even though it's the Democrats who, of course, can say, yeah, but he, you know, took so long to do so. It's not necessarily an obvious, you know, plus or minus for anyone. That said, the Democrats were making a lot of hay saying, you know, we're trying to get in there. We're trying to work with Joe Biden to make your life better. And these Republicans are not pushing the president enough to sign anything. And that's now really not as effective a line of argument as it was for a few months there.
And you have a quote in your article from Republican strategist Whit Ayers, who says the Georgia Senate runoffs are not the first election of the post-Trump era. They're the last election of the Trump presidential era. Why would that distinction matter?
Well, because no one is really able to move on from Trump at this point. You know, Trump is the inescapable fact of this race one way or the other. If you are a Republican, for example, you know, it's been very difficult for the Republican candidates to message around President Trump, because while they want to go out there and say we support him, that entails saying at this point that they don't think that the, you know, presidential election was legitimate. And that really casts a lot of doubt on how these people are able to, you know, win over new voters, which they really need to do at this point. And if you're the Democrats, they're just talking about President Trump's handling of this pandemic and about his inability until, I guess, last night to pass more relief. And at this point, I believe they're, you know, almost certain to be saying this is too little too late. So it's really a question of, on the Democratic side, are we going to be able to recover from the Trump era? And in the Republican side, they're trying to figure out what it looks like to still run arm in arm with Trump without fully embracing him in a way that's going to either engage the Democratic base too much or, you know, knock some moderate Republican voters who voted for Biden but who still might like Perdue and Loeffler, you know, away from them in the second round of voting here.
By the way, people say the runoff election in Georgia Tuesday, January 5th, but really, I read that 2 million people already voted in these runoffs, early in person or by mail. In the presidential race, for context, 4 million Georgians voted. So with more than a week to go and 2 million votes already cast, this is shaping up to be another super high turnout election in Georgia, certainly crazy high compared to most runoff elections. Can you tell if it's, again, Democrats flooding the zone with the early and mail-in ballots?
It certainly looks that way. Of course, it's kind of hard to tell in Georgia specifically, but one thing that a lot of Democrats are cheering right now is that they've gotten a lot of new voter registration, primarily among younger black voters in many cases, but a lot of people who weren't eligible to vote in November, but who are now eligible to vote because they've gotten a little bit older, you know, in January. And so that's something that gives the Democrats a lot of reason for celebration, at least in the short run here. But I think it's really important to note that there's almost no world in which this race, both of these races, aren't extremely close. I mean, Georgia was the closest presidential contest in November, and it seems extremely likely that we're going to have a repeat of something like that. This is going to be a race that's won or lost on the margins. So, you know, it might take a while to count the votes, but it is true that we're getting a massive number of people voting already. Everyone expects this to be the highest turnout runoff in Georgia's history. It's certainly already the most expensive.
Let's take a phone call from Robin in Alpharetta, Georgia. Robin, you're on WNYC. Hello from New York.
Oh, my gosh, Brian. Thank you so much for taking my call. I am a longtime listener. Of course, I'm not from New York, but I think you cover politics on the local and national level better than anybody. So I listen every day. So thank you for keeping me sane.
Thank you so much. And I see you're a nurse.
And I was going to say, I'm trying to keep it together because I am. I'm a frontline worker. I've been dealing with this pandemic since March. I used to be a neuroscience nurse, and now I work with COVID patients every day. I was just at work for 3 days, and COVID is still really bad here in Georgia. We are having, the other day we had a record-breaking 6,000 new cases in one day, and our hospitals are full, and so we have no staff, we have no beds. And mostly because I'm at work, I don't see the political ads. I've also already early voted. I did that. Mm-hmm. It's the third time voting for John Ossoff, and I think he's gonna win. But what we're talking about, my coworkers and I, is about the pandemic response, really. And I think a lot of the messaging from Warnock and Ossoff on trying to get relief from Georgians, because our governor has done nothing. You know, there's been no lockdown here. That's why cases are still out of control. They've never gone down because we've never had any real restrictions. And even though it's funny that Trump hates him now, you know, our governor, you know, hasn't done anything. He's been with Trump all the way. And so I think Warnock and Ossoff have had really great messaging on, if you want, you know, somebody to do something about this pandemic, because Georgians are hurting and Georgians are dying still, and will continue to do so until we do something. And so especially for healthcare workers, that's what we're hoping for.
What do you hear the Republican candidates, Loeffler and Perdue, saying about the virus? Are they mostly saying freedom from lockdowns or something closer to the Democrats?
No, it's definitely the other way. And if they talk about it at all, because it's mostly attack ads against Warnock and Ossoff, and it's silly things. It's not even a substantive argument from the other side. And they don't really talk about the pandemic very much. And They have rallies, and famously, I guess, Trump is going to be down here the day before the actual election and have another rally, which is the last thing we need here. And so I think for even anybody who might have been on the fence about, you know, this race, and it's gotten so much national attention that I think it really has helped propel voter turnout even here locally, despite mm-hmm. all the amazing work from the local people. And everybody knows Stacey Abrams, who's just, you know, a genius and has really helped all of this. We need some pandemic relief, and, you know, the Republicans are not doing anything, and they're ignoring it. And there are too many Georgians sick and dying and losing their jobs. And, you know, they're not going to get any rental relief. They're going to be, you know, in upside down, and, you know, they're hurting. And I think lack of response is really going to hurt the GOP in this race.
Robin, thank you so much for helping us report this story and checking in. Call us again, okay?
Thanks, Brian.
And I hope you stay safe in there, down there as a nurse on the front lines. Gabe, does Robin's call sound consistent with your reporting as a journalist on the Georgia race as it pertains to how they're running on COVID?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, especially for the last few months, up until the last few days, really, it was a very common line to hear from Democrats. You know, the Republicans haven't passed a thing. They have control. Why aren't they passing more? Perdue and Loeffler, you know, who both, by the way, faced charges that they've used their insider status in the Senate to profit, you know, with stock trades during the crisis. You know, they may have profited, but they haven't passed COVID legislation. That's something that you hear constantly from Ossoff and Warnock. Obviously, it'll be really interesting to see how that changes. But as you noted, you know, 2 million people have already voted. For a lot of these folks, this is really baked in. And it's really, you know, no one from any of the four campaigns that I've spoken to is really looking for crossover voters at this point. There's very little idea that there are people on the fence, you know, swinging between the candidates. It's really about just turning out one or the other.
So what's President Trump going to say when he holds this rally for the Republicans next Monday? That the coronavirus is still a hoax? Come on out, even as it's spiking everywhere in the country, and let's show up together and hold hands and not wear masks? Or that the election is being rigged by all the mail-in voting? What's he going to say?
Well, you know, I've been doing this long enough to know not to predict what the president is going to say. But listen, he's done this before. I mean, he went down to Valdosta on the southern border with Florida a few weeks back, and he did the lines that, you know, national Republicans wanted to hear from him. He said, if Warnock and Ossoff win, the communists win, right? That's the sort of standard line from him. Obviously, they're not communists. We should note that. But the, you know, for the most part, he talked about how the election was, quote, stolen from him. And when Perdue and Loeffler went up to speak, they were both nearly drowned out by his voters saying, stop the steal or fight for Trump. So, you know, he gets up there and he talks about how unfair things are to him and how, you know, the fake media is going after him and how you can't let the socialists win. And some of that is, of course, what Republicans want to hear. But a lot of it is very, very nerve wracking for Loeffler and Perdue. But I think it's important to note. So his first rally was on the southern border. His next rally on Monday will be on the northern border of the state. These are both very, very heavily Republican conservative areas. That's because they're just trying to get massive Republican turnout here. They've basically made the calculation. They're not going to win over people in the suburbs anymore. You know, those are the folks that are going towards the Democrats. That's why Biden won, in addition to massive, you know, turnout in the cities. For example, black turnout in Atlanta was very large. But the idea here is just to turn out Trump superfans and essentially scare them into voting one way or the other. And I, you know, I'm not going to predict his message for 6 billion reasons, but it seems pretty clear that his message is just, if you like me, you got to like these guys. Just get out there.
Paul in Central Valley, who says his grandmother lives in Georgia. Hi, Paul. You're on WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. I really appreciate you taking this call. And, you know, I have to say, I think first off, Trump never intended to give anybody this $2,000. This is just another attention-grabbing stunt on his part. And I think the calculus always was, well, I'll drag it out till the last minute and then give in and say, oh, I signed this bill anyway. So this is another example of political theater to suit his need for attention and his need to feel like he's in control. And, you know, you were talking just a moment ago about what the message will probably be. The message will be about Trump, and it will be about how the election was stolen from him. There are two facts. Biden won the election, and Trump was impeached. So this whole notion of that, you know, stop the steal is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah.
Paul, thank you very much. So stop the steal, Gabe. That message, does it dissuade Georgia Republicans from voting? I've seen a lot of speculation about that on cable TV. I'm not sure I get it. I would think that those Georgians who are Republican would still want to turn out and make their voice heard rather than just throwing up their hands and saying, oh, there's no point in voting because all future elections are going to be rigged by mail-in ballots. But that's a going analysis that I'm hearing, that Trump's right. Stop the steal message. And if he really does go to Georgia next week and dwell on his claim that the election was rigged, that would hurt the Republicans. I'm not sure.
Yeah. This is obviously something that a lot of Democrats are hoping is the case. And Republicans are very worried about it at first, especially when you had a lot of Trump allies in the state saying, you know, why aren't Perdue and Loeffler doing more for Trump's, you know, stop the steal messaging? We maybe shouldn't vote for them. But, you know, there has been a sort of a consolidation among Republicans, particularly in the top line messaging, to say, well, listen, we got to vote for these guys one way or the other. So we haven't seen a ton of evidence that there is this kind of mass movement or skepticism of them because of his messaging. All that said, we have seen examples, and I wrote about some of these examples, where either the candidates themselves or top surrogates for them have been in Georgia in recent weeks and, you know, started talking and then been interrupted by people in the audience saying, well, what are you doing for Trump? Why should we vote for you? So I think a better way to think about this is not that some massive chunk of Georgia Republicans is going to say, forget it, you know, all elections are rigged, we're never voting again. That's simply not realistic, especially because these people know that Trump is really just playing hardball here, or that's how they perceive it, at least. But as I said earlier, this is a race these are two races that are likely to be run and won and lost on the margins. You know, Republicans in Georgia cannot afford to have even, you know, a few thousand people saying essentially, yeah, I'm not so sure. Maybe I won't vote because I think the last one was stolen from Trump. And so it's going to be stolen from these guys. So what's the point? They can't afford for that to be really how anyone is thinking at this point, because these races are going to be so close. So that's the idea here.
Gabriel DeBenedetti, national correspondent for New York Magazine. Thanks a lot, Gabe.
Thanks, Rob.
Brian Lehrer, a daily politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.